name a couple more times, but I refuse to let myself be charmed by his voice again. When I get back to the house's front steps, of course I spot Molly's pink hair outside. "Oh, look, she's waiting for you. You two really are perfect for each other," I call over my shoulder to Harden.
"It's not like that, and you know it," he grumbles.
"I don't know anything, obviously," I snap, and climb two steps at a time. Zed appears in the doorway, and I rush to his side. "Can I use your phone, please?" I beg, and he nods.
"Are you okay? I tried to go after you, but you were long gone," he says, and I nod.
Harden stands in front of Zed and me while I call Landon and ask him to pick me up. Zed and Harden stare at each other for a second when they hear me say Landon's name. Then Zed looks away and back down at me.
"Is he coming?"
he asks, his voice full of concern. "Yeah, he will be here in a few minutes. Thank you for letting me use your phone," I tell him, ignoring Harden.
"No problem. Do you want me to wait with you?"
he asks.
"No, I will wait with her,"
Harden injects, his voice full of venom. "I would love it if you could wait with me, Zed," I say, and walk back down the steps with him. Harden, being the asshole that he is, follows us and stands behind us awkwardly. Steph, Tristan, and Molly trickle down too.
"Are you okay?" Steph asks.
"Yeah," I say, nodding. "I'm leaving, though.
I shouldn't have even come here."
When Steph hugs me, Molly mutters under her breath, "You got that right." My head snaps around at the sound of her voice. I hate confrontation usually, but I hate Molly even more. "You're right. I shouldn't be here. I'm not as adept as you at getting drunk and hanging all over every guy in the place." "Excuse me?" she says. "You heard me. What's your problem? Mad that I kissed Harden? Because guess what, sweetie? I kiss Harden all the time," she brags. I feel the blood draining from my face. I look at Harden, who doesn't say anything. So he's been messing with Molly the entire time? This doesn't surprise me as much as it should. I don't even have a comeback for her. I try to think of something to say back, anything really, but I can't. I'm sure as soon as I walk away, I will think of 10 replies, but right now I have nothing.
"Let's go inside," Tristan suggests, and grabs Molly and Steph by their arms.
I try to give him a thankful smile as they start to go. "You too, Harden. Get away from me," I say, and stare at the street.
"I haven't kissed her. I mean, lately. Except for tonight. I swear,"
he says. Why is he saying this in front of them? Molly turns around. "I don't really give a shit who you kiss. Now get away from me," I repeat. A huge wave of relief washes over me as I see Landon's car pull up. "Thanks again," I tell Zed.
"No problem. Don't forget what we talked about,"
he says hopefully, reminding me of our supposed date.
"Tessa,"
Harden calls as I step toward the car. When I ignore him, he calls louder.
"Tessa!"
"I have said everything I have to say to you, Harden. I am done listening to you and your bullshit. Now leave me the fuck alone," I scream, turning around to face him. I am aware everyone's eyes are on us, but I have had enough.
Tessa, I...
"You what? You what, Harden?" I scream even louder.
I love you,"
he yells, and all the air disappears from my lungs, and Molly sounds like she is choking, and Steph looks like she has seen a ghost. And for a few moments, everyone just stands there, like something alien has passed by us and left us frozen. When at last I can speak, I say quietly, "You're sick, Harden. You're really fucking sick." Despite the fact that I know this is part of his game, it still awakens something inside me to hear those words come off his lips. I grab for the door handle on Landon's car, but am yanked away by Harden.
"It's true, I do. I know you won't believe me, but I do. I love you."
His eyes brim with tears. His lips press in a hard line, and he covers his face with his hands. He takes a step back, then another forward, and when he takes his hands away, his green eyes appear sincere, full of panic. "Harden, he's a better actor than I thought. I can't believe he is doing this in front of everyone." I shove him backward and open the car door, locking it before Harden regains his balance. As Landon drives off, Harden bangs his hands against the window, and I put my hands over my face so he doesn't see me cry. Chapter 61. After I finally stop sobbing, Landon quietly asks,
"Did I hear him say that he loves you?"
"Yeah, I don't know. He was just trying to cause a scene or something," I say, and almost start crying again.
"Do you think... don't get mad at me, but do you think that maybe he does? You know, love you?"
"What? Of course not. I am not even sure if he even likes me. I mean, when we're alone, he is so different, and I think maybe he does care about me, but I know he doesn't love me. He isn't capable of loving anyone other than himself," I explain.
"I'm on your side, Tessa, I am," Landon replies. "But the look on his face as we drove away, he looked heartbroken. And you can't be heartbroken if you aren't in love."
"That can't be true. I felt my heart shatter when he kissed Molly, but I don't love him."
"Do you love him?"
he asks simply. My voice comes out strained and my words too quick. "No, I don't love him. He is... well, he's a jerk. I've known him less than 2 months, and half of that... actually, all of that time we've spent fighting. You can't love someone you only met 2 months ago. Besides, he's a jerk."
"You already said that,"
Landon says, and I notice the hint of a smile on his lips as he tries to keep his expression neutral. I don't like the pressure that I feel in my chest as we talk about me loving Harden. It makes me feel nauseous, and the space in the car feels much smaller. I roll down the window a crack and lean my head against it, feeling the little stream of air slip across me.
"Do you want to come back to our house or go to your dorm?"
he asks. I want to go to my dorm and curl into a ball on my bed, but I'm afraid that Steph or Harden will show up. The chance of Harden coming to his father's house is so slim, that seems to me the better option. "Your house. But can we go by my room so I can grab some clothes? I'm sorry for asking you to drive me all over."
"Tessa, the drive is short, and you're my friend. Stop thanking and apologizing to me,"
he says sternly, but his sweet smile makes me laugh. He is the best person I have met here, and I am so lucky to have him. "Well, let me thank you one last time for being such a great friend to me," I say, and he frowns playfully.
"You're welcome. Now let's move on."
I rush around my room, gathering my clothes and books. I feel like I never stay in my room anymore. This will be the first night in days that I will be sleeping without Harden. I was beginning to get used to it. How foolish of me. I grab my phone out of my drawer and walk back to Landon's car. When we get to his house, it's after 11. I'm exhausted and thankful that Ken and Karen are asleep when we arrive. Landon puts a pizza in the oven for us, and I eat another one of my cupcakes from earlier. Baking with Karen seems like weeks ago, not hours. I have had such a long day, and it started so well with my morning with Harden and the internship, and then he ruined it, just like he always does. After we eat the pizza, Landon and I walk upstairs, and he shows me to the guest room that I stayed in last time. Well, I didn't quite stay in there, since I was woken up by a screaming Harden. Time hasn't made sense since I met him. Everything has happened so quickly, and it makes me dizzy to think about the better times we've had and how they're spaced out between a lot of arguing. I thank Landon again, and he rolls his eyes at me before leaving me and going into his room. I turn on my phone to find many texts from Harden, Steph, and my mother. I delete all but my mother's message without reading them. I already know what they will say, and I have had enough of it today. I turn my ringtone and text notifications off, put my pajamas on, and climb into the bed. It's 1 in the morning, and I have to wake up in a few hours. Tomorrow is going to be a long day. If I hadn't missed my morning classes today, I would just stay home, well, here, or go back to my dorm. Why did I convince Harden to come back to literature? After tossing and turning, I roll over to check the time. Almost 3. Despite the fact that today has been one of the best and then worst days of my life, I am too exhausted to even sleep. Before I realize what I'm doing, I'm standing in front of Harden's bedroom door, and then I enter it. With no one around but myself to judge me, I open the second drawer and grab a white T-shirt. I can tell that it has never been worn, but I don't care. I pull my own shirt off and replace it. I lie down on the bed and bury my head in the pillow. Hardin's minty scent fills my nostrils, and I finally fall asleep. Chapter 62. When I wake up, it takes me a moment to remember that I am not in bed with Hardin. The sun is peacefully shining through the bay window, and as I look over, I catch sight of a figure and sit up quickly, orienting myself. As my eyes adjust, I am convinced that I am going mad. "Hardin?" I say quietly and wipe my eyes.
"Hey,"
he says from where he sits in a wing-back chair, his elbows on his knees. "What the hell are you doing here?" I snap. My heart aches already.
"Tessa, we need to talk,"
he says, the bags under his eyes prominent. "Have you just been watching me sleep?" I ask.
"No, of course not. I came in here a few minutes ago,"
he says. I wonder if he had nightmares without me in bed with him. If I hadn't witnessed them myself, I would think those were part of his games as well, but I remember holding his sweaty face between my hands and seeing the real fear in his green eyes. I stay silent. I don't want to fight with him. I just want him to go away. I hate that I don't actually want him to go away, but know that he has to.
"We need to talk,"
he repeats. When I shake my head no, he runs both hands through his hair and takes a deep breath. "I have to go to class," I tell him.
"Landon already left. I turned your alarm off. It's 11 already."
"You what?"
"You were up late, and I thought you..."
he begins. "How dare you even... Just go." The pain from his actions yesterday is still fresh and actually overshadows the anger I feel at missing my morning classes, but I can't show any weaknesses or he will pounce on it. He always does.
"You're in my room,"
he points out. I climb out of the bed, not caring if I am only in a t-shirt, his t-shirt. "You're right. I'll go," I say, the lump in my throat growing and tears threatening to spill out.
"No, I meant, you are in my room. Why?"
His voice is bleak. "I don't know. I couldn't sleep," I admit. "I need to stop talking. It's not really your room anyway. I've slept here just as many times as you have. Actually more now," I point out.
"Your own shirt didn't fit?"
he asks, his eyes focused on the white shirt. Of course he is making fun of me. "Go ahead. Tease me," I say, the tears pooling at the bottom of my eyes. He makes eye contact with me, but I look away.
"I wasn't teasing you."
He stands up from the chair and takes a step toward me. I back away and raise my hands to block him, and he stops.
"Just hear me out, okay?"
"What else could you possibly have to say, Hardin? We always do this. We have the same fight over and over, only worse each time. I can't do it anymore. I can't."
"I said I was sorry for kissing her," he says.
"That isn't what this is about. Well, that's part of it, but there is so much more. The fact that you don't get that proves that we are wasting our time. You will never be who I need you to be, and I am not who you want me to be." I wipe my eyes as he looks out the window.
"But you are who I want you to be,"
he says. I wish I could believe him. I wish he wasn't so incapable of feelings. "You're not," is all I can say. I didn't want to cry in front of him, but I can't seem to stop myself. I have cried so many times since I met him, and if I get tangled back into his web, this is how it will always be.
"I'm not what?"
"Who I want you to be. You do nothing but hurt me." I walk past him and cross the hall to the guest room. I hastily pull my pants up my legs and gather my things, Hardin's eyes following my every move.
"Didn't you hear what I told you yesterday?"
he finally says. I was hoping he wouldn't bring this up.
"Answer me,"
he says. "Yeah, I heard you," I tell him, avoiding looking in his direction. His voice becomes hostile.
"And you have nothing to say about it?"
"No," I lie. He steps in front of me. "Move," I beg. He is dangerously close to me, and I know what he is going to do as he moves in to kiss me. I try to back away from him, but his strong hands pull me closer, holding me in place. His lips touch mine, and his tongue tries to push through my lips, but I refuse. He eases his head back slightly.
"Kiss me back, Tess,"
he demands. "No." I push at his chest.
"Tell me you don't feel the same, and I will go."
His face is inches from mine, his breath hot on my face.
"I don't."
It hurts to say the words, but he has to go.
"Yes, you do,"
he says, his tone desperate.
"I know you do."
"I don't, Hardin, and neither do you. You can't possibly think that I bought that." He lets go of me.
"You don't believe that I love you?"
"Of course not. How stupid do you think I am?" He stares at me for a second before he opens his mouth and closes it again.
"You're right,"
he says.
"What?"
He shrugs.
"You're right. I don't. I don't love you. I was just adding to the drama of the whole thing."
He laughs lightly. I know he didn't mean it, but that doesn't make his honesty hurt any less. A part of me, a larger part than I want to accept, hopes that he actually did. He stands against the wall as I walk out of the room, my bag in hand. As I reach the stairs, Karen smiles up at me. "Tessa, sweetheart, I didn't know you were here." Her smile fades as she notices my distressed state. "Are you okay? Did something happen?" "No, I'm good. I was locked out of my room last night, and I..."
"Karen?"
Hardin's voice says from behind me. "Hardin?" Her smile slightly returns. "Would you two like something to eat? Some breakfast? Well, lunch, it's noon." "No, thank you. I was just going back to the dorms," I tell her as I descend.
"I could eat,"
Hardin says behind me. She seems surprised as she looks at me and then back at him. "Okay, great. I will be in the kitchen." After she disappears, I head for the door.
"Where are you going?"
He grabs my wrist. I struggle for a second before he releases it. "The dorms, like I just said."
"You're just going to walk?"
"What is wrong with you? You act like nothing is happening, like we haven't just been fighting, like you haven't done anything. You are seriously insane, Hardin. I'm talking mental institution, medicated, padded walls insane. You say horrible things to me and then try to offer me a ride? I can't keep up with him."
"I didn't say anything horrible, actually. All I said was that I don't love you, which you claim you already knew. And secondly, I wasn't offering you a ride. I was simply asking if you were going to walk back."
His smug expression makes me dizzy. Why would he even come here to find me if he doesn't care about me? Doesn't he have anything better to do than torture me? "What did I do?" I finally ask. I have been wanting to ask this for a while, but I've always been afraid of his answer.
"What?"
"What did I do to make you hate me?" I ask, trying to keep my voice down so Karen doesn't hear me. "You can have practically any girl you want, and you continue to waste your time, and mine, to find new ways to hurt me. What's the point? Do you dislike me that much?"
"No, it's not that. I don't dislike you, Tessa. You just made yourself an easy target. It's all about the chase, right?"
he says boastfully. Before he can say anything else, Karen calls his name and asks if he wants pickles on his sandwich. He walks to the kitchen and answers her. I walk out the door. On the way to the bus stop, I figure that I've already missed so many classes lately, I might as well miss the rest of the day and get a car. Luckily, the bus pulls up minutes later, and I find a seat in the very back. As I slump down in the seat, I think back to what Landon said about heartbreak, that if you don't love the person, they can't break your heart. Hardin repeatedly breaks my heart, even when I don't think there are any more pieces to break. And I love him. I love Hardin. Chapter 63. The salesman is a creep and smells like stale cigarettes, but I can't be picky any longer. After an hour of negotiating, I write him a check for the down payment, and he gives me the keys to a decent 2010 Corolla. The white paint is chipped in a few places, but I manage to talk him down low enough that I can let it slide. I call my mother before I drive out of the lot to tell her, and of course she says I should have gotten a bigger car and lists the reasons why. I end up pretending to lose service and shut my phone off. It feels amazing to drive my own car. I no longer have to depend on public transportation, and now I can drive myself to my internship. I hope my cutting ties with Harden doesn't affect it. I don't think it can, but what if he is bored with just simply making me cry and does something to ruin it? Maybe I should talk to Ken and try to explain that Harden and I are no longer... dating? He thinks we are dating, so I will have to come up with something besides, your son is the cruelest person in the world, and he is toxic to me, so I can no longer be around him. I turn the radio on and turn it up louder than I usually would, but it does what I need it to. It drowns out my thoughts, and I focus on every lyric to every song. I ignore the fact that every song seems to remind me of Harden. Before heading back to campus, I decide to go buy some more clothes. It's getting colder, so I need some more jeans, and besides, I'm growing tired of wearing my long skirts all the time. I end up buying a few new outfits to wear to Vance, some plain shirts and cardigans, and a couple of pairs of jeans. They are tighter than usual, but they look good on me. Steph isn't in the room when I return, which is good. I really think I may need to look into changing rooms. I do like Steph, but we can't continue to live together if Harden is around. Depending on how much I will be making at my internship, I could get my own apartment and live off campus. My mother would lose it, but it isn't up to her. I fold my new clothes and put them away before grabbing my toiletry bag and heading to the showers. When I return, Steph and Zed are sitting on her bed looking at her computer. Great. She looks up sleepily. Hey, Tessa, did Harden ever find you last night? When I nod, she asks, so did you work it out? No. Well, yeah, I guess. I am done with him, I tell her. Her eyes go wide. She must have assumed he would sink his claws back into me.
Well, I for one am glad,
Zed smiles, and Steph swats his arm. Her phone beeps and she looks down.
Tristan is here. We gotta go. Wanna come? She asks.
No, thanks. I'm gonna stay here. But I did get a car today, I tell her, and she squeals.
Really? That's awesome,
she says, and I nod. You'll have to show it to me when I get back, she says, and they head for the door. Steph walks out, but Zed lingers in the doorway.
Tessa?
His voice is as smooth as velvet. I look up, and he smiles at me.
Did you think about our date?
He asks, staring into my eyes. I am about to reject him, but why? He's very attractive and seems sweet. He didn't take advantage of me when he easily could have. I know he would be better company than Harden. Anyone would be, honestly. Sure, I smile.
Sure as in you will let me take you out?
His smile grows. Yeah, why not? I reply.
Tonight, then?
Yeah, tonight is good. I don't think tonight is a good idea, seeing as I have studying to make up for, but I'm still ahead of the course despite having missed a few classes this week.
Awesome. I'll be here at 7, yeah?
Okay. He brings his lower lip between his perfect teeth.
See you tonight, beautiful,
he says, and I flush, waving goodbye as he leaves the room. It is 4 now, so I have 3 hours. I blow-dry my hair and curl the ends, and to my surprise, it looks really good. I apply light makeup and put on one of my new outfits, a pair of dark jeans, a white tank top, and a long brown cardigan. My nerves are getting the best of me as I stare into the mirror. Maybe I should change. I switch to a blue tank top and a button-up shirt. I can't believe I'm going on a date with Zed. I've had one boyfriend in my entire life, and now I'm going on a date with Zed after all this mess with Harden. Maybe guys with tattoos and piercings are my new type. I pull out my old copy of Pride and Prejudice and begin to read to pass the time, but my mind wanders, and thoughts of Noah continue to preoccupy me. Should I call him? I reach for my phone and scroll through the names until I reach his. I stare at the screen. My guilt and my common sense fight it out until I toss my phone back onto my bed. What seems like just minutes later, there is a knock at the door. I know it must be Zed because Harden wouldn't knock. He would rudely barge in and throw my stuff all over the place. When I open the door, I can't help but gape. Zed is dressed in tight black jeans, white sneakers, and a t-shirt with a cut-off jean jacket over it. He looks so hot.
You look beautiful, Tessa,
he says, and then hands me a flower. A flower? I'm both surprised and flattered by Zed's thoughtful gift. Thank you, I smile, and bring the white lily to my nose.
Are you ready?
He asks politely. Yes, where are you taking me? I ask him as we walk outside.
I figured we'd just go to dinner and a movie. Something casual. No pressure.
He beams. I reach for the passenger door handle, but he stops me.
Allow me,
he says with humor in his voice. Oh, thanks. I'm still nervous, but Zed's so nice it makes it easy to start to relax. When we get into the car, he keeps the radio off and makes small talk, asking about my family and my plans after college. He tells me how he is going to WCU for environmental science, which surprises but intrigues me. We arrive at a casual cafe-style restaurant and sit out on the patio. After ordering our meals, we continue chatting until the food comes. Zed eats all of his food and begins to steal fries off my plate. I lift my fork menacingly. If you take another fry, I'll have to kill you, I tease. He gives me a mock innocent look and laughs with his tongue between his teeth. I find myself laughing for what seems like ages, and it feels great.
You have an adorable laugh,
he says, and I roll my eyes. We end up going to see a cheesy comedy that fails to entertain either of us. But that's okay, because we entertain ourselves with small jokes to each other during the movie, and toward the end, he puts his hand over mine. It's not uncomfortable, like I had assumed that it would be, but it doesn't feel the same as when Harden does it. And right then, it occurs to me that I made it hours without even thinking of Harden, which is a refreshing change from him consuming my thoughts every day, all day. When Zed gets me back to campus, it's almost 11. I'm glad it's Wednesday, only 2 more days until the weekend when I can catch up on my sleep. He gets out of the car and walks over to me as I adjust my purse on my hip.
I had a really nice time. Thank you for agreeing to come out with me,
he says. I had a nice time too, I smile.
I was thinking, remember when you asked if I was going to the bonfire?
When I nod, he asks,
do you mind if I come along?
Sure, that would be fine. I'll be going with Landon and his girlfriend, though. I don't recall Zed joining in on the group teasing Landon, but I just want to make sure he knows that it is not okay.
That's fine. He seems nice,
he says, and I smile. Well, it's settled then. Meet you there? I suggest. There is no way I am taking him to dinner at Landon's house.
Sounds good. Thanks again for tonight.
He takes a step closer. Is he going to kiss me? I start to panic. But instead, he wraps his hand over mine and brings it up to his mouth, placing one single kiss on the top of my hand. His lips are soft against my hot skin, and his gesture is very sweet.
Have a good night, Tessa,
he says, and gets back into his car. I let out a deep breath, relieved that he didn't try to really kiss me. He's cute and was a good kisser during Truth or Dare, but the timing just doesn't feel right. The next morning, Landon is waiting at the coffee house for me, and I tell him about Zed. Annoyingly, the first thing he says is,
does Harden know about this?
No, and he doesn't need to. It's none of his business. I realize my tone was a little too harsh, so I add, I'm sorry, it's just a touchy subject.
Obviously. Just be careful,
he warns me sweetly, and I promise him that I will. The rest of the day zooms by, and Landon doesn't bring up Harden or Zed again. Finally, it's time for literature, and I hold my breath as Landon and I walk into the room, where Harden is sitting in his usual seat. My chest aches at the sight of him. He glances over at me, but then turns back to the front of the room.
So you went out with Zed last night?
He asks as I sit down. I was praying that he wouldn't talk to me. That's none of your concern, I reply quietly. He turns in his seat and brings his face close to mine.
Word travels quickly in our group, Tessa. Remember that.
Is he trying to threaten to tell his friends about all the things we did together? The thought makes my bile rise. I turn away from him and focus my attention to the professor, who clears his throat and says,
okay, everyone. Let's start where we left off yesterday, discussing Wuthering Heights.
My stomach drops. We aren't supposed to be discussing Wuthering Heights until next week. This is what I get for missing class. I feel Harden's eyes on me. Perhaps, like me, he is thinking about the first time I was in his bedroom and he caught me reading his copy of the novel. Our teacher paces before us, his hands clasped behind his back.
So, as we know, Catherine and Heathcliff had a very passionate relationship, their passion being such a force in the novel that it ruined essentially every other character's life in its wake. Some argue that they were terrible for each other, and some argue that they should have married one another instead of fighting their love from the beginning.
He pauses, looking out at all of us.
So what do you think?
He asks. Usually I would raise my hand immediately, proud to show off my expert knowledge on classic novels, but this one hits too close to home. A voice from the back of the room answers, I think they were terrible for one another. They fought constantly, and Catherine refused to admit her love for Heathcliff. She married Edgar even though she knew she was in love with Heathcliff the entire time. If they would have just been together in the beginning, everyone would have been a lot less miserable. Hardin looks at me, and I feel my cheeks heat up.
I think Catherine was a selfish, pompous bitch,
he lets out. Gasps fill the room, and the professor glowers at Hardin, but he continues.
Sorry, but she thought she was too good for Heathcliff. And maybe she was, but she knew Edgar could never compare to Heathcliff, and yet she married him anyway. Catherine and Heathcliff were just so similar that it was hard for them to get along, but if Catherine wasn't so stubborn, they could have lived a long and happy life together.
I feel foolish as I, too, begin to compare Hardin and myself to the characters in the novel. The difference is that Heathcliff loved Catherine tremendously, so much so that he sat by idly as she married another man before he finally married someone else. Hardin does not love me that way, or at all, so he has no right to compare himself to Heathcliff. The entire class seems to be looking at me, waiting for my reply. They are probably hoping for an argument like last time, but I stay quiet. I know Hardin is trying to bait me, and I will not fall for it. Chapter 64. After class, I say goodbye to Landon and walk straight to the professor to explain my absences. He congratulates me on my internship and explains that he rearranged the syllabus a little. I keep our conversation going until Hardin exits the room. I make my way back to my room, where I lay out all my notes and textbooks on my bed. I try to study, but feel on edge waiting for Steph, Hardin, or one of the many other people who are always in and out of my room to show up. I pack my study materials into my bag and head to my car. I will find a place to study off campus, maybe a coffee shop. Driving toward town, I spy a small library on the corner of a busy street. Only a few cars are in the lot, so I pull in. I walk all the way to the back of the library and sit next to the window, pulling all of my books and notes out so I can get to work. For the first time, I can study in peace, no distractions. This will be my new sanctuary, the perfect place to study. Miss, we are closing in 5 minutes. An elderly librarian comes over to inform me. Closing? Looking out the window, I see that it is dark out. I didn't even notice the sun going down. I was so engrossed in my books, hours passed and I didn't even notice. I will definitely have to come here more often. Oh, okay. Thank you, I reply, and pack up my things. Checking my phone, I see a new text from Zed.
I just wanted to tell you goodnight. I can't wait for Friday.
He really is very nice, so I reply, That is very sweet, thank you. I am looking forward to it, too. Back in the room, Steph is still gone, so I change into my pajamas and grab Wuthering Heights. I fall asleep quickly, dreaming of Heathcliff and the moors. When I wake up on Friday, I have a text message from Landon telling me that he won't be on campus at all today because Dakota is arriving earlier than he thought. Skipping literature crosses my mind momentarily, but I decide against it. I can't let Hardin ruin anything else I like. I take a little more time to get ready today and braid the front of my hair back before curling it. It's supposed to be warm, so I wear a purple sleeveless fleece jacket and jeans. When I go to the coffee house before class, Logan ends up in front of me in line. Before I can walk away unnoticed, he turns around.
Hey, Tessa,
he says. Hey, Logan, how are you? I ask politely.
I'm good. You coming tonight?
To the bonfire?
No, the party. The bonfire is going to be lame. It always is.
Oh, well, I'm going to the bonfire, I laugh lightly, and he chuckles.
Well, if you get bored, you can always stop by,
he says, and grabs his coffee. I thank him as he walks away, relieved that Hardin's group seems uninterested in the bonfire, which means I won't have to deal with any of them tonight. When it's time for literature, I walk right to my seat without a single glance in Hardin's direction. The discussion continues on Wuthering Heights, but Hardin stays silent. As soon as we are dismissed, I gather my things and practically bolt to the door.
Tessa,
I hear Hardin call behind me, but I just walk faster. Without Landon here, I feel more vulnerable. When I reach the sidewalk, I feel a light touch on my arm. I know it's him from the way my skin tingles.
What?
I shout. He takes a step back and holds out a notebook.
You dropped this.
Relief and disappointment battle inside me. I wish this ache in my chest would go away. Instead of shrinking, it seems to get larger every moment of every day. I shouldn't have admitted to myself that I love him. If I would have kept ignoring the truth, maybe it would hurt less. Oh, thanks, I mumble, and grab the notebook from him. His eyes catch mine, and we just stare at one another until after a few seconds, I remember that we are standing on a crowded sidewalk, and I look around at everyone passing by us. Hardin shakes his hair out and pushes it back before he turns and walks away. I head to my car and drive straight to Landon's. I wasn't going to go until 5. It's only 3, but I can't sit alone in my room. I really have gone mental since Hardin came into my life. When I arrive, Karen answers the door with a huge smile and invites me in. It's only me here right now. Dakota and Landon are at the store fetching a few things for me, she says as she brings me into the kitchen. That's okay. Sorry for coming so early. Oh, don't be sorry. You can help me cook. She hands me a cutting board and a few onions and potatoes to chop, and we talk about the weather and the upcoming winter. Tessa, did you still want to help me get the greenhouse going? It's climate controlled, so we don't have to worry about the winter. Yes, of course. I would love to. Great. Maybe tomorrow? Next weekend I will be a little busy, she jokes. Her wedding. I'd almost forgotten. I try to smile back at her. Yeah, I'd say so. I wish I could have gotten Hardin to agree to go, but it was impossible then, and it's even more impossible now. Karen puts the chicken in the oven and gathers plates and silverware so we can set the table. Is Hardin coming to dinner tonight? She asks as we start laying things out. She's clearly trying to sound nonchalant, but I can see she's a little nervous about the question. No, he won't be coming, I tell her, and look down. She stops what she's doing. Are you guys okay? I don't mean to be nosy. That's all right. I might as well tell her. I don't think we're okay. Oh, honey, I'm sorry to hear that. You two really had something, I thought. But I know it's really hard to be with someone who is afraid to show their feelings. This line of conversation makes me feel a little weird. I can't even talk to my own mother about stuff like this, but something about Karen's openness makes me more able to discuss this sort of thing. What do you mean? Well, I don't know Hardin as well as I wish I did, but I know he is very closed off emotionally. Ken used to stay awake nights worrying about him. He's always been an unhappy child. Her eyes go glassy. He wouldn't even tell his mom he loved her. What? I say again. He just won't say it. I am not sure why. Ken can't recall a single time when Hardin said he loved either of them. It's truly sad, not only for Ken, but for Hardin as well. She blots her eyes. For someone who refuses to tell anyone, even his own parents, that he loves them, he sure was quick to use the words against me in a hateful way. He's very difficult to understand, is all I can think to say. Yes, yes he is. But Tessa, I hope you'll still come around, even if you two don't work things out. Of course, I tell her. Perhaps sensing my mood, Karen switches to talk of the greenhouse while we wait for the food to finish cooking and then put everything out on the table. Midway through a sentence, Karen stops and puts on a wide smile. I turn to find Landon walking into the kitchen, followed by a beautiful girl with curly hair. I knew she would be gorgeous, but she's even more so than I could have imagined. Hi, you must be Tessa, she says, even as Landon opens his mouth to introduce us. She immediately comes over and hugs me, and I immediately like her. Dakota, I have heard so much about you. It's nice to finally meet you, I say, and she smiles. Landon's eyes follow her as she walks past and hugs Karen, then takes a seat at the counter.
We passed Ken on our way here. He was getting gas, so he should be here any minute,
Landon tells his mom. Great, Tessa and I have already set the table. Landon goes over to where Dakota sits, puts his arm around her waist, and leads her to the table. I take my seat across from them and glance over at the empty place setting next to me, which Karen had set up for purposes of symmetry, but it just makes me a little sad. In another life, Harden would be sitting next to me, holding my hand the way Landon is Dakota's, and I could lean into him without fear of being rejected. I'm beginning to wish I had invited Zed, even though it would have been extremely awkward. Having dinner with two deeply in love couples may prove worse. Ken enters, saving me from my thoughts. He walks over and kisses Karen on her cheek before sitting down.
Dinner looks great, honey,
he says, and playfully places a napkin on his lap.
Dakota, you get more beautiful each time I see you.
He smiles at her, then turns to me.
And Tessa, congratulations on your internship advance. Christian called me and told me. You made a wonderful first impression on him.
Thank you again for calling him. It's such an amazing opportunity. I smile, and the table's silent for a moment while we all try Karen's chicken, which is delicious.
Sorry I'm late.
I hear from behind me, and my fork falls out of my hand onto my plate. Harden, I didn't know you were coming, Karen says nicely, then looks at me. I look away. My pulse is already quickening.
Yeah, remember we discussed it last week, Tessa?
He smiles his menacing smile and takes the seat next to me. What is wrong with him? Why can't he just leave me alone? I know it is partly my fault for letting him get to me, but he really enjoys playing cat and mouse. Everyone's eyes are on me, so I nod and pick up my fork. Dakota looks confused, and Landon looks worried.
You must be Delilah,
Harden says to her. Oh, Dakota, actually, she corrects him sweetly.
Yeah, Dakota. Same thing,
he mutters, and I kick him under the table. Landon glares at him, but Harden doesn't seem to notice. Ken and Karen go into conversation between themselves, as do Dakota and Landon. I stay focused on my food and think of an exit strategy.
So how's your evening so far?
Harden says in a casual tone. He knows that I won't cause a scene, so he's trying to annoy me. Fine, I answer quietly.
You're not going to ask me how mine is?
He smirks. Nope, I mumble, and take another bite.
Tessa, was that your car outside?
Ken asks, and I nod. Oh, yeah, I finally got my own car, I say, with a little extra excitement, in hopes that everyone else will join in so I am not stuck talking to just Harden. Harden raises his eyebrow at me.
When?
The other day, I answer. You know, the day that you told me that it's all about the chase.
Oh, where did you get it?
A used car lot, I answer, and watch Dakota and Karen both try to hide their smiles. Sensing an opportunity to direct the attention off me, I say, So, Dakota, Landon told me you were thinking of going to New York for a ballet school? She tells us all about her plans to move to New York, and Landon looks genuinely happy for her, despite the distance that will stay between them. When she finishes, Landon looks at his phone and says,
Well, we should get going soon. That bonfire waits for no man.
What? Karen says. Okay, but at least take some of the dessert with you. Landon nods and helps her put some into a Tupperware container.
Are you going to ride with me?
Harden says. I look around like I'm confused about whom he's addressing.
I'm talking to you,
he states. What? No, you're not going, I tell him.
Yes, I am. And you can't stop me from going, so you might as well ride with me.
He smiles and tries to put his hand on my thigh. What the hell is wrong with you? I say under my breath.
Can we talk outside?
He asks and looks toward his father. No, I say quietly. Every time Harden and I talk, I end up crying. But Harden stands up quickly and grabs my hand, pulling me to my feet.
We'll be outside,
he announces, and pulls me through the living room and out the front door. Once we're outside, I yank my arm away and warn him, Stop touching me. He shrugs.
Sorry, but you weren't going to come with me.
Because I didn't want to.
I am sorry. For everything, okay?
His fingers play with his lip ring, and I avoid focusing on his mouth. I stare at the way his eyes search my face.
You're sorry? You're not sorry, Harden. You just want to mess with me. Just stop. I am exhausted and drained from fighting with you all the time. I can't do it anymore. Isn't there anyone else that you can mess with? Heck, I'll even help you find someone. Some poor innocent girl for you to torture as long as it isn't me.
That's not what I'm doing. I know I am back and forth a lot with you, and I don't know why I do it. But if you give me one chance, one more chance, I will stop. I tried to stay away from you, but I can't. I need you.
He looks down at the deck, rubbing the tips of his boots together. The audacity of what he's saying helps me keep my tears in check this time. His ego has seen quite enough of them. Stop. Just stop. Aren't you tired of this? If you needed me, you wouldn't treat me the way you do. You told me yourself it was all about the chase, remember? You can't just show up here after everything and act like nothing happened.
I didn't mean that. You know I didn't.
So you admit you just said it to hurt me? I glare at him, trying to keep my guard up.
Yeah.
He looks down. I'm so confused by him. He says he wants more, then he kisses Molly. Then he tells me he loves me and takes it back, and now he is apologizing again? Why should I forgive you? You just admitted that you did something solely to hurt me.
One more chance. Please, Tess. I'll tell you everything.
He pleads. I almost believe the pain in his eyes as he looks down at me. I can't. I have to go.
Why can't I come with you?
He asks. Because I am meeting Zed there. I watch as his expression changes and seems to crumple before me. It takes everything in me not to comfort him, but Harden did this to himself. Even if he actually does care, it's too late.
Zed? So you guys, what, dating now?
His tone is full of disgust. No, we haven't even talked about it. We are just, I don't know, spending time together, I guess.
You haven't talked about it? So if he asked you, you would?
I don't know. And I honestly don't know. He is nice and polite, and he treats me well. Why am I even explaining myself to this boy?
Tessa, you don't even know him. You don't...
The front door shoots open, and an exuberant Landon asks,
Ready?
His eyes dart to Harden, who for once looks unguarded and even heartbroken. I force my feet toward the car and follow Landon as he pulls out of the driveway. I can't help but look back at Harden, who is still on the porch, still staring back at me as I drive away. Chapter 65. Pulling into the spot next to Landon, I text Zed to tell him I have arrived. He writes back immediately with a note to meet him at the far left corner of the field. I tell Landon where he'll be as he and Dakota walk up.
Sounds good,
he says, but he seems less than thrilled. Who's Zed? Dakota asks. He's my... friend. He is just my friend. Harden's your boyfriend, right? She asks. I look over at her. She doesn't seem to be implying anything, she just seems confused. Welcome to the club.
No, babe.
Landon laughs.
Neither of them are.
I laugh, too. It's not as bad as it sounds. Right as we get to where everyone is, the school band begins to play and the field becomes more and more crowded. I'm relieved when I spot Zed leaning against the fence. I point him out and we head over there. Oh! Dakota squeals as we get close. I can't tell if she's surprised by his tattoos and piercings or his good looks. Maybe both.
Hey, beautiful,
Zed says, beaming, and hugs me. I smile at him, returning the hug.
Hi, I'm Zed. It's nice to meet you both.
He nods toward Landon and Dakota. I know he's met Landon before, so maybe he's just trying to be polite. Have you been here long? I ask.
Only about 10 minutes. A lot more people here than I expected.
Landon leads the way to a less crowded area near the enormous mound of wood, and we all sit on the grass. Dakota sits between Landon's legs and leans back against his chest. The sun is going down and the breeze is picking up. I should have worn long sleeves. Yeah, have you been to one of these before? I ask Zed, who shakes his head.
No, this isn't my typical scene,
he says with a laugh before adding,
But I'm glad to be here tonight.
I smile at his compliment, and right then someone walks up to the central bandstand and gives us all a warm welcome on behalf of the school and the band. After a couple of minutes of rambling on, they finally count down to the lighting of the fire, and 3, 2, 1. The fire ignites and swallows the mound of wood fiercely. It's actually quite beautiful being this close to the flames, and I can tell I'll be warm enough after all.
So how long are you here?
Zed asks Dakota. She frowns. Only the weekend. I wish I could come back for the wedding next weekend.
What wedding?
Zed asks. I look at Landon, who answers,
My mother's. Oh.
He pauses and looks down as if thinking about something. What? I ask him.
Nothing. I'm just trying to remember who else said something about a wedding next weekend. Oh yeah, Harden, I think. He was asking us what he should wear to a wedding.
My heart stops. I hope I don't show it on my face. So Harden definitely still hasn't told any of his friends that his father is the Chancellor, or that he's marrying Landon's mother.
Bit of a coincidence, right?
He asks. No, they're, Dakota begins, but I interrupt. Quite a coincidence. But then, in a town this size, there are probably a few every weekend. Zed nods in agreement, and Landon whispers something in Dakota's ear. Harden is actually considering going to the wedding? Zed chuckles.
I can't imagine Harden at a wedding anyway.
Why not? My tone is a little harsher than I meant it to be.
I don't know, because he's Harden. The only way to get him to go to a wedding would be if he knew he could have sex with the bridesmaids. All of them,
he says and rolls his eyes. I thought you and Harden are friends, I say.
We are. I'm not saying anything bad about him. That's just how Harden is. He has sex with a different girl every weekend, sometimes more than one.
My ears are buzzing and the fire feels too hot on my skin. I stand up before I realize what I am doing.
Where are you going? What's wrong?
Zed asks. Nothing, I need some air. Some fresh air, I mumble. I know how stupid that sounds, but I don't care. Be right back, I just need a second. I march away quickly before any of them can follow me. What is wrong with me? Zed is sweet, and he actually likes me. He enjoys my company, and yet all it takes is a mention of Harden, and I can't stop thinking about him. I take a quick stroll around the stands and a few deep breaths before walking back over to them. Sorry, the fire was just too hot, I lie, and sit back down. Zed has his phone out and turns the screen away from me as he slides it back into his pocket. He tells me it's fine, and we make small talk with Landon and Dakota for the next hour. I'm getting sort of tired. I had an early flight, Dakota finally tells Landon, who nods.
Yeah, I'm tired too. We're going to get going.
Landon stands up and helps Dakota to her feet.
Do you want to go too?
Zed asks me. No, I'm okay. Unless you want to? He shakes his head.
I'm cool.
We say goodbye to Landon and Dakota and watch as they disappear into the crowd. So what's the reason behind the bonfire? I ask Zed, unsure that he really knows.
I think it's like to celebrate the end of the football season,
he tells me.
Or the middle of it, or something.
I look around and notice for the first time that a lot of people are wearing jerseys. Oh, I look over at Zed. I see it now, I say, and laugh.
Yeah,
he says, and then squints.
Is that Harden?
I snap my head in the direction he's looking. Sure enough, Harden is walking toward us with a short brunette wearing a skirt. I scoot closer to Zed. This is exactly why I didn't listen to Harden on the porch. He's already found some girl to bring here just to spite me. Hey, Zed, the girl says in a high-pitched voice.
Hey, Emma.
Zed hooks his arm around my shoulder. Harden glares at him but takes a seat with us. I know I am being rude by not introducing myself to this girl, but I can't help but dislike her already.
How's the bonfire so far?
Harden asks.
Warm, and almost over, I think,
Zed replies. There is tension between the two of them. I can feel it. I don't know why there would be. Harden made it clear to his friends that he doesn't give a shit about me. Do they have food here? The girl says in her annoying voice. Yeah, they have a concession stand, I tell her. Harden, come with me to get some food, she demands. He rolls his eyes but stands up.
Bring me back a pretzel, yeah?
Zed yells, smiling, and Harden clenches his jaw. What is up with them? As soon as Harden and Emma disappear, I turn to Zed. Hey, can we go? I don't really want to hang out with Harden. We sort of hate each other, in case you forgot. I try to force out a playful laugh, but it doesn't happen.
Yeah, sure, sure,
he says. We both stand up, and he reaches for my hand. We hold hands as we walk, and I find myself looking around for Harden, hoping he won't see.
Do you want to go to the party?
Zed asks as we reach the parking lot. No, I don't really want to go there either. That is the last place I want to go.
Okay, well, we can just hang out another,
he begins. No, I still want to hang out. I just don't want to be here or at that frat house, I say quickly. He looks surprised as his eyes meet mine.
Okay, well, we can go to my place, if you want. If not, we can go somewhere else. I actually don't really know where else to go in this town.
He laughs, and I join him. Your place is fine. I'll follow you there, I tell him. During the drive, I can't help but picture Harden's face when he returns to find us gone. He brought a girl there with him, so he has no right to be upset, but it doesn't really ease the pang in my stomach to justify it like that. Zed's apartment is right off campus, and is small but clean. He offers me a drink, but I decline since I plan on driving back to my room tonight. I plop down on the couch and he hands me the remote before going back to the kitchen to make himself a drink.
You can be in control. I don't know what you like to watch.
Do you live alone? I ask him, and he nods. I feel a little awkward as he sits next to me and puts his arm around my waist, but I hide my nervousness with a smile. Zed's phone buzzes in his pocket, and he stands up to answer it. Holding a finger up to tell me he will be back, he wanders into his small kitchen area.
We left,
I hear him say.
So? Fair. Too bad.
The few snippets of conversation that I catch make no sense to me, except the "we left." Is that Harden on the phone? I stand up and walk toward the kitchen as Zed hangs up. Who is that? I ask.
No one important,
he assures me, and leads me back to the couch.
I am really glad we are getting to know each other. You're different from the rest of the girls here,
he says sweetly. Me too, I tell him. Do you know Emma? I can't help but ask.
Yeah, her girlfriend is Nate's cousin.
Girlfriend?
Yeah, they have been together for a while. Emma's pretty cool.
So Harden wasn't there with her. Not in that way, at least. Maybe he actually came there to try to talk to me again, instead of trying to hurt me with another girl. I look over to Zed just as he leans in to kiss me. His lips are cool from his drink and taste like vodka. His hands are careful and smooth against my arms, then my waist. Harden's heartbroken face from earlier pops into my mind, the way he begged for one more chance and I didn't believe him, the way he watched me drive away, the outburst in class about Catherine and Heathcliff, the way he always shows up when I don't want him to, the way he never tells his mother that he loves her, the way he said he loved me in front of everyone, the hurtful way he took it back, the way he breaks things when he's angry, the way he came to his father's house tonight even though he hates it there, and the way he asked his friends what to wear to the wedding. It all makes perfect sense, but no sense at the same time. Harden loves me. In his own damaged way, he does love me. The realization of this hits me like a truck.
What?
Zed says and pulls away from our kiss. What? I repeat his word.
You just said Harden.
No, I didn't, I defend.
Yes. Yes, you did.
He stands up and steps away from the couch. I have to go. I am sorry, I say, and grab my purse and rush out of the door before he can say anything else. Chapter 66. I take a second to think about what I am doing. I left Zed to go find Harden, but I really need to think about what will happen next. Harden will either say terrible things to me, curse at me and make me leave, or he will admit that he has feelings for me, and that all these games he has been playing are just his way of not being able to deal with and express his feelings in a normal way. If the first scenario happens, and I mostly expect it to, I will be in no worse a state than I am now. But if it's the second, am I ready to forgive him for all the terrible things he has said and done to me? If we both admit the way we feel about each other, will everything change? Will he change? Is he capable of caring for me the way I need him to? And if so, am I capable of putting up with his mood swings? The problem is, I can't answer any of these questions on my own, not a single one. I hate the way he clouds my thoughts and makes me feel unsure about myself. I hate not knowing what he will do or say. I pull up to the damned fraternity house that I have spent way too much time in. I hate this house. I hate a lot of things right now, and my anger toward Harden is almost to its boiling point. I park at the curb and rush up the steps and into the crowded house. I head straight for the old couch Harden is usually perched on, but not spotting his mop of hair, I duck behind a heavy-set guy before Steph or anyone else can spot me. Rushing up the stairs to his room, I bang my fist against the door, annoyed that once again he has it locked. "Harden? It's me. Open the door," I yell desperately and continue to pound, but there's no answer. Where the hell is he? I don't want to call him to find out, even though that is obviously easier, but I'm angry, and I feel like I need to stay angry so I can say what I mean, what I need to say, and not feel bad about it. I call Landon to see if Harden is at his father's, but he isn't. The only other place that I know to look is the bonfire, but I doubt he would still be there. Still, I don't have any other options right now. So I drive back to the stadium and park my car, repeating the angry words I have saved for Harden over and over to make sure I don't forget anything in case he actually is here. Approaching the field, I can see that almost everyone has left already, and the fire is almost out. I walk around and squint in the dying light and stare at the couples to see if they are Harden and Emma, without luck. Just as I decide to stop looking, I finally do see Harden leaning against the fence by the goalpost. He is alone, and doesn't seem to notice me walking toward him as he takes a seat on the grass, wiping his mouth. When he removes his hand, it looks red. Is he bleeding? Suddenly, Harden's head snaps up as if he can sense my presence, and yes, the corner of his mouth is bleeding, and the shadow of a bruise is already forming on his cheek.